afternoon. Welcome back. 4:48, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. High gasoline prices, high fuel cost. We're going to get into that a little bit right now. Patrice Hill, Washington Times economic reporter, is here. Has a piece in today's Washington Times entitled, Fueled by Mild Winter, Consumers Save Enough Cash to Fill Up the Tank. Does this explain why you're not hearing a whole lot of griping going on at the pump right now?
Yeah, I think it's been more limited, although I think it's what you see is being played up a lot in the press, you know, what griping is out there. But if you look at you with consumers, you always have to look at what they do, not what they say.
Yeah.
That's what really matters. And they're griping, of course, but they're going out and spending anyway, which is really telling you that the hit at the pump is not as deep as yet as people feared, or some people feared it might be. So, of course, there's still time here.
Yeah.
And we know we're going to probably breach $4 a gallon before summer. And, you know, how much further it goes above that, we don't know. So, you know, there's still time for a serious reaction to set in. But right now, consumers are griping, but they're still spending at the malls.
That's interesting.
And they got helped a lot by the very low heating costs, which I think were completely overlooked by the media. And, you know, that's a very significant savings. I know for my husband and I, we're talking hundreds of dollars that were saved per month, in some cases $100 or $200 a month this winter. So that's, you know, maybe a $600 savings for an average family.
Yeah, and so that sure helps a lot, you know, when it comes to filling up the gas tank. Now, I will say this, the other night, I have a car that when I purchased it a couple of years ago, it cost me $38 to fill. And it just like clockwork. Every time I pulled in, it was $37.50, $38, $38.50, something like that. The other night, it was $63. So that did get my attention. And I immediately thought, how much longer before I'm going to be, you know, if it does go to $5, because the thought was that it could, although some of the information I read in your piece doesn't show that happening. Is that what some economists are saying?
Well, if it goes as the usual, we always have a run-up in the spring in gas prices every year. And why it comes seems to come as a surprise to people is beyond me. But every year there's a run-up before Memorial Day. And then after about midsummer, July and August, you start to see prices decline again, and then they go back down, let's say, to $3.50 a gallon and stay there during the winter, and then they head back up again. So it's a seasonal fluctuation that you're seeing in gas prices right now. So if the seasonal fluctuation is as it's been in the past, then you'll see gas prices peak somewhere around $4 a gallon and then head back down in the fall. Now, the wild card, which is affecting both crude and gasoline prices right now, of course, is Iran and the whole situation with Israel threatening to strike Iran in the Middle East and Iran threatening to strike back by blocking the Straits of Hormuz. That is what has kept crude oil prices elevated all year. That is the factor. People ask, what's causing high gas prices? The short answer is Iran. Okay, that's the short answer.
Yeah.
Because really this started at the very end of December, and I remember writing about it in early January that this confrontation with Iran is going to be driving up crude prices and therefore are driving up gasoline prices as the summer driving season approaches. So that's a wild card, and we don't know if that does break into an open, violent, you know, confrontation with Iran. That's when you could see $5 a gallon at the pump. But if that, short of that happening, most people expect it to be a milder increase in price.
Yeah. Have people noticed higher prices, as an example, at the grocery store? Because I have, and the explanation I got from one of the managers at my local grocery store, because I had said something to him, not really complaining, just asking about it, he said, well, it costs more to get the product here.
Well, that's correct. I mean, food prices actually do swing a lot in tandem with oil prices and for a good reason. The cost of your fertilizer, all of that is made from crude oil. Crude oil. The cost of many pesticides are related. All of the farm instruments, tractors, you know, reapers, all of the things that they use on the farm are fueled by oil. Then the product, the farm product has to be brought to market using usually these big tractor trailers, which consume something like, do you know, a tractor trailer consumes $500 worth of diesel gas in one tank load. Okay, so that gets added to your bill.
Sure.
Then the processing cost, and then, you know, the cost of transporting it to your grocery store, which also involves oil.
Sure.
So it is heavily, your food prices are heavily influenced by the price of crude oil. We have an economy generally that's heavily influenced by crude oil because it was cheap when we first developed it 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's why we became so dependent on it.
Yeah.
Now we're living in an era where crude oil is no longer cheap and will not ever be so again.
Yeah.
It's not going to be cheap again. Why is that? Because the supply is very tight and is not likely to be keeping up very well with demand coming out of China and India and other very fast-growing countries in the future.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, though. We hear about so much oil underground. In fact, Ed Kelly was just in here, the editor of the Washington Times. He talked about the president speaking about high cost of oil and getting oil through pipelines in, you know, in Oklahoma today. And he said that, you know, one of the firms confronted the president's staff, you know, around the speech time, and said, you know, we've got enough oil underground to last us for 200 years. How come we can't get it? So, I mean, one side is saying we've got a whole lot more oil here.
There's two hurdles you have to go through to get the oil out of the ground. It's true there's a lot of oil on the ground. There's two hurdles. One, is it technically possible to get it out?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a huge part of the oil in the ground that is technically not feasible to get out.
I'd get it out. I'd be digging my own hole.
Well, maybe you should go into that business. I'm sure you can make a lot of money.
Get out of radio and go into that business.
And then the second hurdle is it economic at today's prices to use the technical? Because many of the technical, remember, like you're digging down 2 miles into the crust of the earth to get this oil now. The easy oil is gone. The easy oil that you just put the straw in and suck it out is gone. The hard oil is left, which is very hard technically to get at it and expensive. So when you get to this hard oil, two questions are, is it technically feasible to get it?
Yeah.
And given the techniques, is it economic at the current oil price? That is why oil prices have to go up, because the more difficult and expensive it is to get your oil, the more prices have to rise to cover the cost.
Yeah, the thought is, though, that if you actually started to do it, the act of actually starting to build the Keystone Pipeline or starting to drill in areas that have been off limits before, that would trigger the market to drop a bit, because the impression would be to the Middle East is that, they're going to go away from depending on us to depend on Canada or to depend on what's in Alaska or what is in the Gulf of Mexico. And so that's the political football that I see in all of this. You know, just by saying you're going to do it sometimes can affect the market. I mean, look what happened the other day. You know, the Saudis said that they would step up and they would replace what Iran wasn't going to develop. Now, what happened was immediately the market reacted only to change the next day when it was found that really wasn't going to happen. So there is something. There's movement, even if you're just saying you're going to do
something.
Well,
I mean, actually, I think that illustrates how little we can move the price of oil. Because if Saudi Arabia, which is the Saudi Arabia of oil, right, they've got the most oil in the ground and the most wherewithal to increase production of any country on earth. And if they're only able to move the price of oil for one day and that's it, that's telling you how tight supplies are.
No, they moved it for a day because the following day the talk was over. It wasn't going to happen.
Well, okay. I think their pledge has been out there and it's been understood by the markets all year. They have said since the beginning of the year that they would make up any shortfall from the production of Iran, which is not sold under the embargo. Okay, they've been saying that all year and the markets know that. Okay, they simply reiterated what they said on last week when is what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But even Saudi Arabia has very little influence over oil prices at the tight supply situation that we're in.
Yeah.
That's the way markets work.
Yeah. All right, listen, we could talk about this all night, but we can't because we're out of time. I want people to check out your piece, though, in today's Washington Times. Fueled by mild winter, consumers save enough cash to fill up the tank. Patrice Hill, always good to talk to you. Thanks. 4:59, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth.